day.
Good day, Elias.
And what shall we discuss, my friend?
Being in the moment.
Being in the moment. And that is definitely a subject. And how well are you accomplishing that?
I think a byproduct is how odd everything feels. That's one angle to address to it, because everything feels so different and quite odd. And a big impetus, a big push from that was our conversations about moving the thinking mechanism to its appropriate position and moving more, having the intuition being more in the primary.
Yes.
And it offers great opportunities for fun and adventure.
How so?
Well, I had an opportunity to put into action was what happened last week with the opportunity that arose from ongoing repeated experiences around my dad, and I saw an opportunity. And even though the moments, I'll say, were filled with angst, in a manner of speaking, I tried in this situation not to make it that important, and it's since, you know, become easier. But in that moment, I saw it more like an opening of like a portal or a rift, in that all at once I could see or sense a lot of things. And this had to do with an opportunity to see my dad, with this idea that we have been, quote unquote, not able to see him because of the isolation, and him presenting circumstances, which physically was the imagery of having a medical issue. The third piece was working with this facility, an idea of not agreeing with, but working with an outside source. So there were many pieces in this, and I stopped and I felt different. I felt almost dreamy or trippy. Phil, and I was somewhat in contact with Phil. I wasn't objectively talking with him and actually put him kind of at bay, didn't I, Phil? Which we've since discussed. And what I ended up, pardon me, honey?
Seems so, yeah.
Yes, and so, but it felt so trippy, so unusual, Elias, that in the moment, I felt like I was orchestrating. It wasn't even thinking as much as orchestrating movements. I would take this piece and this piece and this piece, and I was almost like in a zone or a sweet spot or a hot spot, and I kind of pieced it together myself and landed this action, which took me in a matter of hours or, you know, 20 hours. I was actually teleported. I moved myself from one part of the country to the other, was in my dad's company, accomplished what I wanted to accomplish, leaned into interconnectedness and got more, I'll say, assistance in what I felt I needed. I'll say simply I deposited my father back to my satisfaction, spent days with my partner, and then returned to almost like the point of origin where this began. That was different. It was hot. It was accomplishing. And it was thrilling.
And I would be exceptionally congratulating you.
Thank you.
That is a significant accomplishment.
Especially considering the ease with which we did all that.
And that is the bonus, but it is the point. That you can actually see, experience, and realize that you are creating in your reality in any given moment doesn't have to be difficult.
Thanks.
And that, my friend, is a tremendous example. And that I would be exceptionally acknowledging you in. That you are not only in that one situation or that one experience, but because of that experience, you are actually expressing an ongoing example of that principle. That whatever it is that you want, whatever it is that you perceive you need, whatever it is you require, that whatever it is that you are creating, it doesn't have to be difficult. That it can be easy. That many times the reason that different expressions in creating your reality can be difficult is two reasons. One, because you automatically think that you have to do it alone, that you have to do something yourself alone, and that makes it harder. And the other is that you don't believe there's any other way. That's struggle.
Right.
Therefore, I am exceptionally congratulating you. And it is well deserved.
It is shocking how easy this all feels.
And what are you making important? That's the key to not engage that thickness.
I very much agree.
And even to the extent to which, that whole thing with your dad and coming here, that was all one thing. And then you're right back in the mix over there, and you are accomplishing so much where you are now. And it has its moments, but it still feels so incredibly in flow.
And I would definitely agree with that.
You know, the piece that actually helped me the most, Phil, when you're speaking to that, is Elias, from our conversations about the young ones, when I would converse with you about my daughters, and we talked about guidelines, and we talked about what happens at this stage in development as humans when we're exploring, as I have, one and a half, so to speak, of children in this process of exploring their guidelines, and before they, quote-unquote, land and are fully embraced and they learn to we learn to express through them. And the point that you made at that time, I've carried forward for myself, in that what I did to make it simple is just lean into what's comfortable and what's not comfortable. Now, intellectually and to some degree experientially, I know my guidelines and whatnot, but when things get hairy, when things get complex, let's say, and a lot of our creations, Phil, are complex, that idea of moving with comfort or uncomfortableness, both simultaneously moving without turning our head, without justifying and doing all those other points, and genuinely moving and paying attention to the comfort or uncomfortableness with eyes wide open. That has made this a key with, and the trust factor that I won't betray myself in moving intuitionally and can rely on that I don't have to do it myself. And the peace that I don't have to like what everybody else is doing around me.
But, and that is tremendous.
Okay.
That peace is definitely and important. Important that you are aware of it. Important that you are acknowledging it. You don't have to like what everyone around you is doing. You don't have to agree with it. But it is also a matter of recognizing genuinely that regardless of whether you agree with or whether you like what is being expressed around you, it doesn't dictate your reality. You still have choices. And what I would say to you in that, my friends, in your exceptional manner of how you express yourselves with grace, I would encourage you to impart that peace to Michael, because I would say that is a piece that would genuinely be heard, but also a genuine encouragement with that Michael is, as you are likely aware, somewhat discouraged presently in relation to what other people are expressing and engaging and not liking it.
Yeah.
And being in that position of not agreeing and not liking, but also feeling somewhat disempowered by that.
Yes.
But you don't have to like what other people express or how they behave or what they do. And you don't have to agree with it either. And it doesn't restrict you. It doesn't mean that you are in a position of less choices. Just as with your father and the care facility and their rules and their direction, which are not always compatible with what you want, but you accomplished anyway.
Mm.
That is exceptional. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was quite...
You are very welcome and deserving.
It was so titillating.
That is an excellent word. And not only excellent, but very accurate.
Yes.
Oh, it got my cells humming.
I would say congratulations, my friend.
Thank you. And it was...
That is exceptional.
Well, it's interesting. My partner and I, as you know, had quite a discussion on how he felt, you know, being across the country and kind of in a manner of speaking, kind of feeling left out, felt the commotion, and we worked through the idea of, you know, how I did or didn't communicate with him. But let me ask you this, Elias, then. Probably, I'm thinking, my impression is because it's so unfamiliar, yet... I want your input, please. At the time, even though it wasn't necessarily a conscious choice, I did not engage Phil objectively, let's say through a phone call, because it was something I knew that was so unusual, and like I said, it felt like almost like balancing plates and like moving through, like I said, through a rift in the atmosphere, that I think I almost didn't want to engage him objectively because I didn't want to engage the thinking mechanism in the form of having to explain or detail anything, but yet I wanted to keep riding this position I found myself in.
I understand.
And we've worked through our feelings, so I'm thinking as we do this more and more, I don't have to be anxious that I'll, you know, it's like, you know, throw myself out of that stream.
Correct.
Yep.
But yeah. I would also say that in subsequently communicating with each other, which is significantly important, but because you subsequently communicated with each other, then you have a clearer understanding of what you are doing. And in that, then, the other individual is less likely to feel left out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
After we had, you know, my discomfort was very short-lived. And after we discussed...
And I very much am congratulating you in that.
Thank you.
Because I am aware that is a piece that isn't always easy for you.
Yes. Thank you.
Are very welcome. And once again, deserving.
Thank you. It was almost when we had our discussion after it was kind of all said and done, and I brought it up because I had a feeling of being left out, which I no longer was carrying at that point. I had pretty much accepted that, and without us having even discussed it yet, I kind of had accepted the idea that Debbie knew what she was doing, and I trusted her in that. And then, so mentioning it after was almost a postscript. It was like, this happened. It's not happening currently, but this did happen. So let's just throw it out there, and then we can discuss. And we got through it so quickly; it was amazing.
And I exceptionally am acknowledging you. I say to you very genuinely, well done. That is exceptional.
Thank you. Elias, back to where we popped in there about what other people are doing. When I was connecting with Mary and sharing what's going on, especially she's at this focal point of being a receiver and connecting with people and all the turmoil going on, I was using the word I was disheartened. but I was being saying that's where I was at, identifying it and acknowledging it, and then not following it. And so, yet you use the word, which I really like, because that's what's going on. You use the word disempowered, which is actually more accurate than my term of disheartened.
Yes.
That seems significant. Can you spend just a minute more on that, please?
I would say that when people at times, not always, are overwhelmed, and when they don't necessarily objectively see a manner in which they can satisfactorily accomplish. And let me say to you, accomplishing doesn't always mean producing in a traditional sense. It could mean being in a position and wanting to be encouraging someone, or wanting to be acknowledging someone. And in that, not feeling as if you are adequately doing that, or you are not doing it in a manner that is satisfactory to you. That can create a situation in which the individual, in a manner of speaking, becomes somewhat disempowered. And I understand definitely how you were interpreting that in being disheartened, which also is an accurate description. And in that, I would say that what is tremendously significant, especially in these types of situations, is connecting. Because this is how you encourage each other. This is how you give each other information that helps you and that acknowledges and reinforces. And when you are connecting with each other, when you are sharing with each other, it creates those opportunities in which you connect in manners that do opposite. They neutralize that disempowerment or that disheartened expression, and it allows you to actually do the opposite, in which you are encouraging each other, you are empowering yourselves and each other. And in that, you move in a direction of turning that energy entirely. And let me express to you another piece. I will be reiterating this to you, that what is very significant presently in relation to that is that, as I explained, expressed from the beginning of this mass event, one of the actions that has been very significant is this expression of attempting to maintain control through isolation.
Right.
What has happened in this mass event is, and this is not deviating from our subject, what has happened in this mass event is that those individuals that all of you perceive to be as positions of authority, their desperate attempt to maintain control has been expressed in relation to the most tried and true and successful manners of expressing control, which are through fear and isolation. And people cannot connect with each other objectively when people are kept separate from each other. They don't share.
Right.
And the more they don't share, the more disempowered they become.
Right.
And, as I have expressed from the beginning, you are social creatures. Therefore, isolating you is a very effective method, because it is very unnatural.
Yes.
And in that, what happens when people are isolated is they have difficulty in connecting with each other. They almost, their ability to, in a manner of speaking, reason in the manner that they are accustomed to. Therefore, individuals such as yourselves or Michael or some other individuals in our forum, so to speak, begin to almost lose touch with themselves. I have expressed many times to many of you that one of the significant things of my role with all of you is to remind you. To give you information and then to remind you of that information. Because you forget. You automatically forget. And that is natural. And the reason that it is natural is because the information that I am giving you is unfamiliar. And you are beings that I have expressed many times are very complex. What that means is you are never only directing your attention in one direction. You are directing your attention in many different directions simultaneously, all the time. This is something natural that you automatically... It is so natural that you don't even realize you're doing it. Your attention is being directed to your environment, to yourself, anything and anyone else in your environment. It is taking in information constantly through your senses, and you are constantly processing. Therefore, your attention is doing many, many actions all at the same time. And you still maintain the ability to focus. But whenever you present new information to yourself, you have a tendency to forget that because your attention is moving in so many directions at once. And for the most part, it is attending to everything that is immediate and that is familiar to you.
Right.
Therefore, it can also be including not the immediate, meaning it can be including projecting past, future, in many different directions, all at the same time. And in that, when you are presented with that becomes something that your attention might be interested in, but it has a lower priority.
Sure.
Therefore, that is the reason that you engage with myself, because I remind you. And in that, that is significant because the more you are reminded, the more that information moves from being in a low priority position that it begins to climb the ladder. Until it becomes a higher priority and you begin not simply thinking about it, not simply hearing about it, or not simply reading about it, but you begin doing it. And then it climbs the ladder even higher. And then it becomes something that you are practicing and you are doing more and more frequently, and then eventually it moves into that position of becoming automatic. But what happens in situations such as this that you have been experiencing for months now is that the disconnect physically, objectively, the isolation that is being reinforced and encouraged, it begins to wear on you as individuals, and what happens is that what that reinforces is the old automatic. Only rely on yourself. Always be independent. Do everything for yourself. Don't be receiving. Don't be sharing. Don't be interacting. Don't move cooperation with other people. Be alone.
Wow.
And that disempowers you. But this is part of the challenge of this mass event, is recognizing those pieces and recognizing your choices. And doing what you are doing. Stepping up and doing precisely what I suggested to all of you. Stepping up and making intentional choices and saying, how can I help? Whether you actually say those words or whether you simply do it, it is all the same. Act is the point. And in that, what you did with your father, that was stepping up and expressing the question to yourself, how can I help? And then doing it. Because you didn't simply do something that you wanted to do. You actually did help him. Because that connection is very important to him.
Yeah.
And that isolation is very wearing. It takes a toll. This is the reason, which I will reiterate again, that you as humans use isolation as a torture tactic.
Right.
Because it is so unnatural and because it does take a toll. And in relation to torture, it accomplishes precisely what you want it to. It tortures.
Yeah.
It breaks the spirit.
Yes, it does. It does. I would say that you can see that all around you if you are paying attention. And I would say also in a realistic capacity, that it is understandable has been moving in that direction because it is difficult to continue to output, but not be able to share. Both of you see. And that I am tremendously acknowledging of you because most people don't yet. But then I would also express that Michael chose this position and it has never been easy.
Right.
Yeah.
Along those lines, if I may.
Hey.
One of the things I saw as being the most detrimental piece of all of this virus situation and everything that's going on, the most detrimental piece that I saw was this institution of the so-called social distancing. And that's the part that disturbed me the most because I see it's being systematically rolled out and how they're controlling businesses now and how when you go to the grocery store, as Michael had the experience the other day, and people are looking at you sideways, and people are dancing, trying not to get within 6 feet of each other, and it's so unnatural, and people don't even know how to move. People are scared, and they're frightened, and they're yelling at Michael in the grocery store, and they're, yelling at people for going the wrong way in the aisles at the Walmart and all this crazy stuff, but it's so much more insidious in that it is encouraging people to not share, to not interact, and to be distrustful of each other. And I see that as an absolutely detrimental to moving forward as a race.
I very much agree. And this is all part of the tactics of control.
And I wanted to ask you something, Elias, that you've said recently twice, and has stuck with me, has been at the top of my head. You, in discussing this, have said, twice that I've heard, you said something to the effect of, I don't know if it was freedom or independence, probably not independence, probably about freedom, and you said that it was going to be hard won.
Yes, I did. And you are correct. It was about freedom. Freedom is always hard won. And this is no exception to that rule. In this, I remind you, what is the main focus of this shift in consciousness?
The value of the individual.
Precisely. Yes. The individual. The significance, the importance of the individual. And in that, not simply the idea of the importance of the individual, but the expression of that. Meaning, it isn't simply the idea that the individual is the most important factor, but that there is the implementation of that. That because the individual is the most important factor, you emphasize everything about the individual. You emphasize the choices, the expression, the direction, the interaction, everything, that the value of the individual is paramount. Now, in noting that as the primary expression of this shift, now are in a situation. You have created a mass event that is bringing to light the reliance on not the individual. A reliance on authorities. And in that, because the main focus of this shift is the emphasis on the individual, those that are in positions of perceived power are in positions of losing that power. That is the reason that there is this tremendous push in relation to control. Let me express in this manner. I will directly address to a question, a statement and a question that Michael posed recently to another individual and asking, what is the end game to all of this? What is the end game to the individuals that are attempting to maintain control? The end game is power and control. That the people en masse will continue to follow the rules that are expressed by those that are in control. And now that the expression of control is being so threatened, those that are in those positions are desperately attempting to implement that control even more. And therefore, although it seems backwards, that now that you are moving in directions of reopening businesses, reestablishing that, and that there seem to be more rules now than there were before,
yeah,
and that there seems to be more fear now than there was before, and there seems to be more isolation than there was before, even when people were isolating themselves in their homes.
Yes.
The reason being, because this is how you maintain control, through fear and through isolation. Keep the people separate and keep them afraid, and that will allow you to maintain control. It won't be successful ultimately, because ultimately you are shifting.
Yes.
The entire world is shifting. Whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, whether you agree with it or not, that is what is happening. And therefore, it won't ultimately move in this direction of that maintaining of control through fear and isolation, but it is uncomfortable presently, and it is taking a toll. But that is the reason that it is so very important that you are connecting, that you are engaging with each other, and that you are sharing, and that you aren't isolating, and that you aren't succumbing to the reinforcement of independence, do everything yourself, and be alone.
Right.
Freedom is expressed in cooperation and together. When have you ever known of a revolution that was expressed by one individual? When has there ever been a revolution for freedom that there was only freedom for one person?
Right. Now let me follow up with you, Elias.
Yes.
When, of course, when you use those words, and we pay very close attention to your words, and when we hear something like that from you, my bold and my I perked right up. I'm like, ooh, now there's something that's got a lot of weight behind it, hard won, because that implies a great number of things. It implies a battle. It implies conflict. It implies change. It implies not the status quo. And
above, my friend. And you are engaging all of it. You have all of those components now. You are engaging all of them now.
So my immediate question for myself was, how do I express this desire for freedom in the face of all of these manners of trying to maintain control?
Not opposition.
Without opposition, thank you.
Move in the direction of choice. You move in the direction that you are. You move in the direction of paying attention to you and how you connect with other individuals and what you do and what your choices are and how you express your choice because it is your choice. Do precisely what you are doing. You don't have to be yelling and screaming and noisy, and you don't have to be violent, and you don't have to be pushing, and you don't have to be forcing. Let me say to you, first of all, first point. I have expressed from the beginning of my interactions with all of you that you were not moving in the direction of an apocalypse, that you were not choosing to create an apocalypse, and you haven't. You have created this instead, which is definitely creative. But in that, I would say to you that, yes, it has been necessary for you to create something that involves the entire world objectively, and that objectively addresses to certain points that your reality as it stands no longer is efficient, and it doesn't fit with this shift. Our shifting and the reality that you have created to this point in your history doesn't fit any longer with direction that you want to engage from this point forward. Now, in that, why are you moving forward? Why are you expressing this shift in consciousness for freedom? That is why. Because you have outgrown what you thought of as freedom.
I like that.
You are moving in a direction of a greater freedom.
Nice.
A much greater freedom. Therefore, in that, as I expressed, freedom is always hard won. It is never something that you simply express easily and without any effort. It is always something that is hard won because it involves significant change and the disruption of the status quo. Therefore, yes. I agree with everything you expressed, and I reinforce that. And I would say that in this, my friends, what you are about to learn, regardless of what direction you move in, and I mean this genuinely, regardless of what direction you move in, regardless of what choices you engage, you are about to learn that the louder voice isn't always the stronger. That in order to be heard when you perceive you aren't being heard doesn't necessarily require you to scream. And that when you want to accomplish something important, that you believe and feel is a matter of being witnessed, which is what you are doing now, it doesn't require violence or screaming or loudness. It requires being intentional.
Intentional. Thank you.
That is the point. Being intentional.
And there we are.
There, my friends, I would say to both of you, is something that both of you are actually presently doing quite well. And I am exceptionally acknowledging both of you in being intentional.
Wonderful. Thank you, Elias.
Thank you, Elias. You are exceptionally welcome. I express tremendous encouragement to both of you and an acknowledgement in what you are accomplishing and how well. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
You are very welcome. I shall greatly be anticipating our next meeting, my friends. I shall be offering my energy to you continuously in encouragement and acknowledgement and support.
Thank you, Lance.
Great love to each of you. Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.